This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
If you would like to do that, that's 603-283-6160, which tonight is Aria, Bonnie, and Nikki. And Nikki and I both listen to heavy metal. I listen to a lot of heavy metal. Nikki has a wide variety of things that she listens to that's a bit wider than mine. Like, we were just talking about during the break when you also listen to country and Beethoven. And I've historically listened to a lot of classical music, especially Mozart. Mm-hmm. Love Mozart. But that's sort of... It doesn't take a very prominent role in my life. I don't listen to it very often. I'll very occasionally, like once every 2 or 3 months, go back and listen to some Mozart, almost always Mozart. That said, I know some Beethoven songs on guitar. So,
cool.
Yeah, I guess.
I think it's cool.
They're harder to play on piano than they are on guitar because the notes of the guitar, the octaves are all closer together because you can flip back and forth between strings. So it's a lot harder to play the piano. Mm-hmm. They did it like for Elise or whatever. That's pretty easy on guitar, whereas on piano, I didn't find it nearly as easy. But anyway, I've never cared for country. Like when I was a kid, obviously I listened to country, but.
That's exactly how I am. I can't help that I grew up in Tennessee partially, yeah. And my friends listen to country music and stuff, but my parents never listen to country music. Well, actually, my dad has listened to some country music, but my mom hates country music, and my dad's not, like, a big country music guy, and, I've mostly not listened to country
music. It's funny because I'm the opposite, because I grew up in the North, and my dad's, like, a rock and roll classic rock guy, and my mom's always been, like, a pop music girl, so I never grew up with country, and I hated country. I was like, it all sounds the same. Like, I just did not like country. And then I went to California, went to a bar where there was line dancing, and ever since then, I came back. And it was funny because Matt even noticed it because he likes country. And whenever he would play country, I'd be like, I hate this, turn it off. Like, adamantly, like, I would get angry and be like, turn it off. And now he makes fun of me because I love country now.
There are some female singers only, like Kacey Musgraves. I love her so much that she's country. Then I have a lot of, like, what's the word, where you don't want people to know you like this,
like a
thing.
Like a
guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Like Carrie Underwood and Maren Morris. Just, I don't know. I have a lot of, like, music that I know is kind of crap, but I like it and it's nostalgic, like Carrie Underwood.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, like, just love it. I definitely will never listen to a country music song by a man. I just don't find that fun. I don't know.
I just don't find a lot about country music that's interesting. With that said, I haven't really listened to it. And I don't know that I've even listened. I honestly don't remember the last time I even heard a country song.
Yeah.
If I heard any country song, it was one of Taylor Swift's.
I was going to say, Taylor Swift country music is way better than Taylor Swift pop music, in my opinion.
See, I like her pop music a lot better, but that's probably because I just don't like country in general.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're both heavy metal fans, and I recently discovered a new band called Not Enough Space. They released a new song called No Way Out that is just freaking awesome, and it's not... They're not a known band, right? When I first found the song, it had like 20,000 total listens, and they had 15,000 monthly listeners, and they're still only at like 60,000 monthly listeners, where if you compare them to someone like Lacuna Coil or whatever, not the most popular band, but still getting millions of monthly listens. It's just surprising to me how much music there actually is out there. And this is why I want to strangle Mark Edge from the show, because he only listens to talk radio, because all the music that's ever been recorded, I don't remember exactly how he put it, but he basically asserted that there's no new music out there, right? Like,
yeah.
It's all the same or whatever.
If you're listening to music on the radio...
I was going
to
make the same point.
Like, that's the thing. Like, yeah, it's going to be repetitive. If you listen to a classic rock station, they've been playing the same 15 songs since I've been alive.
Yeah.
But if you have, like, Apple Music or even YouTube, if you use the internet to listen to music, you will realize, I mean, even just in the genre of classic rock, because that is my favorite genre of music, I am constantly finding new music, discovering new artists, even within that genre, that has essentially been extinct since the 80s, right? So,
well, yeah, the songs that the radio didn't play when you were growing up. Like, Golden Earring had more than the one song.
Yeah.
And there's just so many different genres than just, like, of course there's, like, the popular version of each genre. Like, there's probably, like, a popular metal, I don't know, like, that is mainstream. And there's
Disturbed probably would be the closest to that.
Yeah.
And that would probably play on, that would play on the radio. But there, and then there's, like, pop that wouldn't play on the radio, and everyone thinks, like, all pop is just what plays on the radio. So, of course, you're going to be like, I hate pop if you listen to what's on the radio. I hate what's on the radio, and I'm a pop music connoisseur.
I think we're in agreement here that music radio is just the worst.
And that's all Mark is thinking.
Yeah, but, you know, Spotify and Pandora, Spotify I've pretty much stopped using because it... They could very easily fix it if they just added a slider to let you choose between, like, obscure songs and the popular singles.
Yeah, you want deep cuts. Yeah.
Yeah, but Pandora does that.
Yeah.
But Spotify doesn't. And I swear to God, if I hear Chop Suey by System of a Down one more time
in my
life...
Oh, no, that's such a good song, but if you listen to it too much with anything...
Is that one the one where he's like, because you feel like it, because you want to.
Yeah.
You wanted to.
That's That's Chop Suey, and it's a good song, right? The first 45,000 times you hear it.
Oh, no.
But, like, we use my Spotify at work, because we all listen to the same music as well, and it's just easier that way. And I listen to it in my car, so I'm listening to Spotify maybe 12 hours a day, and I've had to block some of these songs. And Spotify removed the ability to block some of these songs. And you would think that this algorithm would be smart enough to know, oh, look, every time we play Aerials, Aria skips it. Maybe we should stop playing Aerials and play one of the other 40 System of a Down songs that came off this one album that we haven't been covering. Because System of a Down, they did a tour recently. They're not touring anymore, but they did a show recently where they only played for like an hour and a half or something, but their songs are so short.
Yeah.
That they played like 40 songs in this hour and a half period. And like Spotify, you can play some of those, right? But they don't. It's just Spiders, Sugar, Aerials, and Chop Suey.
Oh, there's so much more to System of a Down.
I know.
Like Spotify is doing everyone a disservice.
Maybe occasionally they'll throw out BYOB. But
also that's like another greatest hits, like very popular. So like we need some deep cuts, Spotify.
And Pandora's,
take the constructive criticism, please.
Pandora's got an option that does exactly that. And I liked it, but Pandora seems to be struggling to figure out what kinds of music I actually like. Like it's still recommending hip hop and pop and stuff to me. And
you
Spotify,
guys still need to get to know each other.
Yeah, but we should at this point because I've been using them for months. But that's my biggest issue with Spotify. But even without that, it's still a wonderful tool that's exposed me to more music that I never even knew existed, that I never would have known existed if it wasn't for Spotify. Like, I'm wearing a Butcher Baby shirt right now. I've seen Butcher Babies more than I've seen any other rock band at this point. And I didn't even know about them 3 years ago. And it's only because of Spotify that I know about them now. Because the Lacuna Coil started playing, I didn't even know they had a female singer, and that led me to discover Infected Rain, who went on tour with Butcher Babies, and that was the first time I ever heard Butcher Babies. I was like, oh, man, they're awesome, right? And it's all because of Spotify and new music and stuff that I wouldn't have ever heard if I was like Mark. I was like, I only listen to talk radio.
Well, in Mark's defense, it's just a known fact that most people, I'm sure it's not everyone, as they get older, they stop wanting to hear new music at, like, you know, mid-20s. And that's definitely happened to me. Like, I definitely don't go search out new music. I have this one friend who is 6 years younger than me, so he's always like, oh, you gotta listen to this. And I'll listen to him, and I'll go listen to music, and usually I like it because he's just has great taste in music. But I don't really go search out new music. Like, I want to just listen to the bands I like. Or
I can't either. Like, another one of the bands that I've been listening to a lot lately is called Forever Still. And they were another band, like, 6 months ago. I'd never heard of them.
I'll just go through, like, phases where it's like, okay, I'm going to listen to the album that came out by somebody that I like that I, for some reason, I don't know how to explain it. It's like a block in my mind. Like, someone I like, and I like their music, will come out with an album, I'll be like, I can't listen to that. It's, like, not their new stuff. I don't know how to explain it.
Dude, I don't remember the last time I listened to an album.
Well, I like to listen to whole albums whenever somebody I like comes out with
it. I collect vinyls. So yeah. I there's something about, and I don't have my record player here, which is really a shame. But I just, something about, like, just the whole experience of listening to, like, an entire album front to back is, even having to flip it. I think it's just because I'm young, so it's like, you know.
I mean, the vinyl thing, I could see that. But I used to, I never really collected CDs, but I, you know, listened to CDs, and it wasn't a lot of mixed CDs that you burn yourself. So this thing where you listen to a song by one band and you immediately go to a song by another band and a song by another band, mm-hmm. and so on, that's really relatively new.
Yeah.
And that's something that I haven't really given a lot of thought to, because historically, like, you would throw in your Tool CD and that was what you listened to,
yeah,
for
exactly.
the next hour and a half.
My first car, I didn't have...
Which is still the case, but it's now because the Tool song is an hour and a half long, because no one ever taught them to go, hey guys, we should stop this song. It's been going on for too long. We've been playing this song for 19 years. Maynard died. Let's cut it. Let's kill it. Anyway.
Yeah. I was going to say my first car didn't have Bluetooth or anything, so I had a little stack of CDs, but
yeah.
I only had like six of them, because even at that point we already had iPods, so I wasn't really collecting CDs. And after a while, it's like those same six CDs, like, it starts to get old.
My first car didn't have Bluetooth either, but me and my friend would take a like Bluetooth speaker, put it up on the dashboard, and drive around like that.
Well, let's keep going with the phones, because we are a call-in show. We have someone on the line here from in New Hampshire. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
It's Stefan.
Ah, Stefan. What's on your mind tonight? Are you going to Pork Fest? Of course you are.
Yes, I am. And that's what I wanted to talk about, actually. So I really appreciate that Dennis has stepped up and all the work that he's done and all of that. But I think that where I draw the line is where you ban one of my good friends for no discernible reason.
Free Mikey.
Are you referring to Mikey? Well, it's unclear.
I am referring to Mikey.
Whether or not Mikey has been banned. And when we asked him that question directly here on Free Talk Live Monday night, we did not get a straight answer.
He's acting like a politician. He wouldn't give a straight answer on anything.
And from what I saw, Mikey was told, you are not welcome here. And I realize some people say that this is splitting hairs, but saying you're not welcome here is not the same as saying you're not allowed here.
Yeah.
And this
The actual screenshot that he sent me said, you are not welcome here, and we will make sure that Rogers refunds your campsite.
Oh, so that sounds like you can't come to me.
Right. But that's not what they said.
It's
you are not welcome here, and I'm not welcome at the Republican Cheshire County meeting.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you can't go.
But I can go, right? I'm not banned. I'm allowed there, but I'm not welcome. And they've made that clear as well. So it's like, if Dennis wants to ban Mikey, he should say, you're not allowed, you're not welcome.
Maybe that's why he won't answer it straight, because maybe he's working on that, and he knows he doesn't really have... Because he doesn't have the power to unilaterally ban a person himself.
Doesn't have a good reason to, though.
But he does, and that's really...
Without Constance, he was the one saying Constance is in charge. Once Pork Fest starts...
The relationships are difficult, but as I understand it, if Dennis, as organizer of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, if he was to go to, you know, Crosby, the owner of Rogers Camp, going to say, hey, look, you know, I'm the person running this festival, and I don't want those people here anymore, I think Crosby would say, all right, well,
but
get
I'm talking about
here.
To the, like, Free State Project. Would they just allow that? Like, they had to have a whole board vote on Cantwell and Ian.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, aside from the fact that Mikey's a good friend of mine, and I think, personally, he's a Porkfest staple, I just don't like there being, like, a system where one person can either unilaterally make someone feel unwelcome or straight up ban them without there being an objective set of criteria. Because I think one of the things that Mikey laid out that I really agree with is that, like, hey, you know, you're like, banning or, you know, making this person feel unwelcome for basically trolling you and, you know, because you don't like him. Meanwhile, we're, like, letting somebody that has threatened to murder parents because they disagree with the way that their kids are being raised, I don't know. That just doesn't seem like an objective criteria.
Oh, yeah, it's not.
For people.
Yeah, I completely
and
agree.
I'm not even a fan of banning Maj, per se, but, like, you know, we should have, like, an objective standard. It makes no sense to ban Mikey and keep Maj, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean... Exactly. It just seems very hypocritical to me. I mean, and like you mentioned, there's one person who is literally threatening violence, which should be, to me, I mean, if there's any reason to ban somebody, that would be it. Mikey has never done anything like that, so it just doesn't... It seems really inappropriate to ban him.
Is that Mikey is accused of interfering with a Jitsi conference that they were having. Where
I mean, so? Even if he did. I mean, it's not a cool thing to do, but...
But there's no evidence to suggest that he did. Hold on. Dennis is just operating on a hunch here.
Yeah.
He has absolutely no evidence. He just thinks it was Mikey because later on, Mikey joined the meeting. And that's literally the extent of the evidence that he has. And that's the justification for the ban. And that's the part that I'm like, man,
it's grasping
at
straws.
You don't have a shred of evidence for this.
It's really grasping at straws.
That's not the real reason why Mikey was banned. Like, he could say that that's the reason, but I think that the real reason was because Mikey got under his skin, you know, and so he wanted to find something to get him. And so it's like, oh, look, now I have a reasonable suspicion, you know, like the officers say, and, you know, and so now I can ban him with impunity, when, like, that's what I wanted to do the whole time. And like I said, I like Dennis. I appreciate what he's done, but I think that this power, could corrupt anybody. And so I'm just saying, like, you know, Dennis might overall be a benevolent, you know, leader of Forkfest, but... I don't always trust that that will be the case. I mean, you guys brought up what happened to Ian, and, you know, what happened to Ian is honestly just as, if not more ridiculous.
Well, they at least had a vote for Ian, but the way this is shaping up, if Dennis wants somebody banned, or the Porkfest organizer wants someone banned, and it's particularly a problem for me because, as he pointed out, there are people asking him to ban me from Porkfest.
Right.
And, like... If he can do that on a whim, without reason, without justification, then I'm solely relying upon his benevolence. I'm really not, like, if I don't know how it would shake out if Porkfest tried to ban Free Talk Live again. I'm not sure it would actually go over the same way that it did previously. I think they would probably find that they couldn't, but, and that's because we work our deal out directly with Rogers Campground, but it's immaterial anyway, that they shouldn't have that ability to say, you know what? Bonnie's making people angry on social media. We don't want her at Porkfest anymore. Because they also said that people were calling for Bonnie to be banned
from
Porkfest.
Yeah, it was like way more people were telling me to ban you than RFK. I was like, okay, so it's, what is this, a democracy now?
And, I hate the populist feel that seems to be going around. Like, like let's get a bunch of statists that want to, like, bomb Mexico and, you know, a bunch of other authoritarian crap, like, in the hub, like, representing all of us. I agree with a lot of what you guys said the other night, and I know that the talk went for quite some time, but I was almost like, dang, like, that wasn't long enough to really flesh things out, because, you know, I felt like there were a lot of politician-y answers given.
Also, that's why,
The problem was also that, like, you know, and, you know, to everybody's credit, I think you guys all did a good job, like, especially Bonnie, you were like my spirit animal that night, but anyway.
Bonnie was fiery, like, that night. I was scared. Yeah.
Well, when someone talks to me in such a condescending voice, they're going to get shrieked at.
Yeah, but like, that being said, like, I think that what you did was, like, you gave him too much to work with. Like, you rapid-fired, like, so many things at him that you made it so that he could pick, like, the easiest question that you asked. So,
well, maybe, but we're doing an improvised radio show, so I mean, we didn't out a script and a plan and all that stuff. We just brought him on and we started talking, and that was how it went. And, I mean, it was one of our best episodes, as far as I can tell, and it was a joy to re-listen to when I listened to it again a few days ago, because no community holds their own to the fire like libertarians do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were like, Dennis, you're being put on trial here by Free Talk Live. And that's pretty much how it was.
I've had, like, people who never agree with me on things saying just like, oh my God, Bonnie, you got him. And I normally don't agree with trannies and Bonnie, but here I am.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I don't want to be put in, like, a difficult position, because I love Dennis. I love Mikey. There's a lot of people that I love that I've seen go down the path of power, you know, and then, like, I end up liking them less because of what happened as a result of it. And I don't want that to happen. And I think that creating an objective criteria for what constitutes banning or what constitutes you were unwelcome, whatever that means, would be a step in the right direction for that.
I'm still holding out hope that Mikey is going to be at the Porcupine Freedom Festival because this I don't want to say Mikey did anything to warrant the ban, because he obviously didn't, but he should have known quite some time ago that he was seriously getting under Dennis's skin, and he should have walked away and let some things go. Like, Mikey was the one who pushed this in many ways to that point.
I honestly don't know anything about it.
Mikey has never stopped blasting Dennis on Telegram and Matrix. Like, that's just what he has done for the last year or two. And it's
right.
At some point he should have been like, I should stop this. But that said, it doesn't warrant a ban. And this is why Mikey was kicked out of multiple Telegram chats and Matrix chats and stuff, because he was being disruptive and he singularly targeting Dennis with insults. And according to Dennis, targeting volunteers and stuff. I never actually saw any of that because I don't follow the dramas very closely. But it was very plain to me that Mikey was getting under Dennis's skin. And that it was probably a good idea to back off.
He definitely isn't blameless, for sure. And, like, I will, you know, I like Mikey a lot, but I will not defend him in everything. And, he did go pretty far in his criticisms. But that being said, they were criticisms done in, like, a trolly way. Right, exactly. And so what I'm trying to figure out is, like, what is the line? You know, what is the line of, like, criticism that we could give to the head organizer of this event? You know, so like, even if I disagree with his form of criticism, his form of speech, I think it's a really dangerous line to go down, of like, okay, well, this speech goes too far. This criticism is too much. We can't, you know, criticism of Porkfest is fine, but you know, if you hit this point, that's when it's too far. But like, the problem is that they're not even saying what this point is. It's still kind of ambiguous. And so that's my real problem. I mean, I love Mikey. He's like a good friend of mine, but like, I think that the thing that ignited me about this was the broader principle of it all.
Yeah. I mean, we said it years ago. I mean, I wasn't even here, but like, it was said years ago when Ian was the first person banned from the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Like, guys, this says it may have been Chris Cantwell who was first, but either way, the same thing would have been said by people here on Free Talk Live, that guys, this sets a really dangerous precedent, and it's only a matter of time before the organizers are arbitrarily banning people on a whim. If you ban Chris Cantwell, I think he was driving drunk and he hit someone, so I mean, it sounds like he warranted being banned, but Ian certainly not. So I mean, if they're allowed to just make up reasons for banning people, then that's going to happen. Thank you so much for the call tonight, Zeph, and I look forward to seeing you next week or the week after, whenever you're arriving. It is going to be a great time. Don't let any of the controversy and drama around it, like, if anything, come for the drama and the controversy, because it's a good time. Like, you've seen libertarians on the internet. Put them on a campground together and watch that play out while they're drinking beer and doing shrooms. It's something to see. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA News Update. Air quality alerts are in effect for approximately 100 million people across 18 states today, as smoke from Canadian wildfires travels as far south as South Carolina. New York City ranked as having the world's poorest air quality.
We're encouraging New Yorkers to stay home, indoors, tonight and tomorrow, whenever possible. especially our vulnerable New Yorkers.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams has extended an air quality health advisory until tomorrow. A group of House conservatives, primarily from the House Freedom Caucus, is blocking Republican-backed bills in protest of Speaker McCarthy's handling of the debt deal. GOP leadership had to postpone votes on gas stove and regulatory reform bills as talks to resolve the impasse continued. Nearly half of independent voters in a recent Economist YouGov poll believe President Biden's health and age severely hinder his ability to be president. John Schaefer, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Invited to take control of the airwaves, 603-283-6160. If you want to weigh in, that's 603-283-6160. And, of course, with you tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki,
and Bonnie.
And I want to tell you about Dash. Tonight's show is brought to you by Dash. And Dash is digital currency, digital cash. That's what it's short for. And it is usable as a cryptocurrency, whereas something like Bitcoin is not actually usable as a currency. You'll end up paying a $4 fee or a $5 fee or something gross like that just to buy a hamburger or a soft drink or whatever. Dash doesn't have those problems. It's been a while since I used Dash, to be fair, a little over 2 years. But the last time I used Dash, I had a flat fee, flat transaction fee of 0.001 Dash, I think.
Still that way. It always just shows $0 on my Edge wallet because
it's fractions
so
of a penny. And it's hard to beat that. Like, I spoke with the owner of the place I worked recently, and one of his biggest concerns was the credit card processing fees. He initially said that it wasn't one of his concerns, but every time he complained about things, he kept coming back to the credit card fees. I suspect from a practical standpoint, the reason that doesn't bother him is because, you know, he can add those to the customer and pass those forward or whatever. But you, as the customer, the business owner ends up paying those processing fees and ends up having to charge the customer more. With cryptocurrency, the user actually pays the fees, and those fees are incredibly low, whereas with credit cards, it could be up to like 1% or 2%.
It's like 4% at the Mighty Moose Smart.
Yeah, it's incredibly high. With Dash, we're talking 0.001. And that's not a percentage, that's the amount that you end up sending for every transaction. So if you send a big transaction, it's an even smaller percentage. Absolutely wonderful. And it has something called chain locks technology that allows them to be resistant or even immune to 51% attacks. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies, and it's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets like the Edge wallet that Bonnie mentioned. So it's easy to get. It's been around for a long time. It's not going anywhere. Dash.org, if you want to learn more about it, that's Dash.org. And I want to say thank you to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us $32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Again, that's Dash.org, and that's 32 Dash per month. You know, it's... You gotta, the SEC, man, they're upset with people, so I gotta be clear, it's not $32 that they send us, it's 32 Dash. I don't know what the dollar amount is on that, and it's kind of irrelevant what the dollar amount is on that, because we're not being paid in dollars, we're being paid in Dash. You can also get paid in Dash, you can get discounts for using Dash with their new killer app, what is it called, their,
Dash Central?
Yeah, Dash Direct. Yeah. Thank you, yep. But let's keep going with the phones because we are a call-in show. And as always, you're invited to weigh in, especially if you're here in New Hampshire and you're excited about the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Yay!
Coming up, you know, just next week. It's coming close. And I'm so torn about that. I mentioned this earlier, but, like, I'm so torn about it because every day that I'm closer to Porkfest, I'm also a day closer to literally going to prison. And that's...
But... By that, you're also a day closer to being released from prison.
Yes, but there is an 18-month gap between those two things that is going to be very unpleasant. But let's go to the phones. We do have Law Dog on the line from Michigan. Law Dog, you're on Free Talk Live.
You guys aren't going to prison.
No, I'm literally going to prison.
No. Appeal. You guys can appeal till January 25th.
I already got sentenced.
I've already been sentenced. I was sentenced to prison. I could appeal the sentence, but it's not going to delay the enforcement of the sentence. And the sentence would likely be served by the time I was actually in a courtroom arguing to appeal the sentence. So no,
well, you guys got a reasonable governor up there in Sununu, and you know, DeSantis or Trump. They'll pull the trigger for you. I think you gotta have the 2/3 to get
DeSantis is 100%
to get a pardon.
DeSantis might pardon Ian.
No, DeSantis would replay my video where I was like, DeSantis is literally a torturer, and then he wouldn't.
But when you say, okay, we also have this tranny here, DeSantis is going to go, no, increase the sentence. DeSantis is not pardoning anyone.
No. Please listen. I'm an old man. Just keep doing what you're doing, okay? And you'll make a difference. I mean, RFK is making a difference today when he went down to the wall there.
Just
the
naming candidates.
Okay, look, I get that, Law Dog, but I want you to understand that I'm literally in 20 days on June the 27th, at 2 p.m., I will literally be taken into the custody of the U.S. Marshals and put into the Bureau of Prisons.
She took a plea deal, so she can't appeal except on very small chance circumstances, and they wouldn't come up until after the
They had you.
They had you
at 10 years, and you plea deal 18 months. You had a pretty good lawyer, didn't you?
I had a fantastic lawyer. I have absolutely no complaints with the lawyer. But yeah, it was worse than 10 months that I was ending up possibly facing. It was three charges of money laundering, conspiracy to commit money laundering, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, and four counts of wire fraud, as well as conspiracy to operate an unlicensed money transmitting business. I was facing as many charges, or maybe more, I don't remember now, In the second indictment that Ian faced during the first indictment. And this fact got completely lost on the libertarians in New Hampshire because Ian also went from like 9 charges to 34. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly, or 20 something. I don't remember how many charges it was, but he got a lot of charges too. But because he got more, they just completely glossed over the fact that I was suddenly facing pretty much exactly the same stuff that Ian was facing prior. That huge big deal that they were worried about, you know, that was what was faced on me the second time following the second indictment, where Ian's got escalated even more. And they were just like, oh, yeah, but hey, Ian, right? And it's like, I understand that. I have no issue with that. But it sucks to be that thief crucified beside Jesus, right? If I'm going to, you know, go to trial and go to prison, I don't think it's unreasonable to want my share of the attention. And to be fair, this is not at Ian at all. Ian was always quick to point out, you know, this is the Crypto Six. There's five other people here, guys. But the liberty activists were fixated entirely on Ian from the very beginning, and that never changed.
Well, he's a hero. He's
yeah, absolutely.
Go down as a hero.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt
yeah,
about that.
You're going to go down as a hero because things are going to turn. The crap's going to hit the fan, and our diaper dandy number 40 sucks. He ain't going to be around much longer.
Okay. I think he said sucks.
His brain is fried.
He did. He says someone's name, so it did not sound like someone's name. But.
I thought he said something else at first, but I think he said Mr. 40 sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean... Oh, 46, maybe?
And I don't even use his name. Oh, I got a new name for him. Bidet.
Oh, because 45 was Trump, right?
I'm confused.
He's like, just like naming the names of politicians at this point.
He said six, but he's from Michigan.
Mo Bidet.
Yeah.
He's got to have a bidet because of the... His Depends diapers are full every day.
Yeah.
And now I'm picking up what you're putting down.
I mean, I absolutely agree. He is a hero, and he's going to be respected for this, and he's going to go down in history as the one who fought this and took it to the end, and I think ultimately won. Because the road to the appeal is long, right? That's a multi-year process, and as I've heard, he's going to be allowed to remain free. He's likely to be allowed to remain free during that time, which is fantastic news, because I expect him to win the appeal.
Mm-hmm.
So much is going to happen in that two-year period with the U.S. government's collapse, the collapse of the USC. They're not going to have the money to pursue these spurious, nonsensical charges. They're going to go broke once the USD is no longer the reserve currency of the world, which is already fast being replaced by BRICS and, you know, the agreement between Russia and China. Once that happens, the U.S. government is going to find that it can't pay its bills, that it can't continue paying this many prosecutors to pursue this many BS charges. And it's going to have to start cutting its losses and picking and choosing which things it wants to fight. And Ian Freeman in New Hampshire, who sold some Bitcoin, is not going to be high on their priority list. And they're going to say, fine, you win. We're done.
Plus, the other thing I think all the time is just like, the judge during the trial has more reason. It's like every first judge, like when you guys were in... When he got told he had to stay, him and nobody had to be told to stay by the magistrate.
Yes.
They have literally nothing to lose. They're just like, okay, we're keeping him.
Yep.
And then the next judge.
Whatever the government wants them to do.
The next judge. So in this case, it'll be the appeals judge. Will have, like, I don't know why it is, but it's just a thing I've noticed. They'll have more leeway to not just throw the book at someone.
Right. The as far as I can tell, and look, I've been through the federal system at this point, the role of the first judge, and LaPlante does a great job, and he's going to be a great appeals judge one day, I think, if he goes that route. But it's almost his job to make sure that the government gets what it wants. Like, I didn't know this at the time. If I had known this at the time, I would have taken the plea deal from the beginning and only faced a maximum of 12 months in prison, and my attorney would have gotten that argued down to supervised release easily. But I didn't know that, right? I thought, you know, we're going to argue this on constitutional grounds. We have a great case here. The Supreme Court just ruled this thing in regard to the EPA, and we're on rock-solid ground. The judge is going to look at this and say, this is a rock-solid argument. Yeah, charges dismissed. But no, as it turns out, the role of the first judge is basically to say, no, motion denied, motion denied, motion denied, unless there's precedent that would allow him to err on the side of rights.
That's the thing. He has to... rely on everything has to be concrete. He can't just make up some new decision, but the appeals judge kind of can.
Right. The first judge there, from what I've seen, does not want, he may be able to set precedent. I don't know. But he doesn't want to. But he did rule that nobody's detention was unconstitutional.
Yep.
So that's lawsuit worthy as far as I can tell. I don't mm-hmm. know who, I don't know who Rich can sue over that, but seems like the judge literally said, this is unconstitutional. You can't contain this man. And that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. You guys do what you can do to keep on air. No matter who it is, maybe nobody, maybe Bonnie, but,
Well, the show's not going anywhere.
January 2025. Then as Sullivan told Costner and JFK, keep stirring the poop storm, Bubba.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call tonight, Law Dog. And a lot of people have asked about that. I don't see any reason to think that Free Talk Live is going out there.
Is he telling me to stay away from grassy knolls?
Probably. I mean,
I don't know what that last sentence was about, something about JFK.
Or book repositories. Stay away from either one of those. Or just communists, I guess. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, CIA agents. Staying away from all of those things, probably a good idea, realistically. 603-283-6160, though. You can join us, weigh in with whatever you want. I'm curious what you think about Porkfest and New Hampshire libertarians and just longtime people in general. What do you think about Mikey possibly being banned from the Porcupine Freedom Festival? That to me, is a concern, because Zeppin is right. Mikey's a staple. Mikey's been at every Porkfest that I've ever been to. And I think this is my 7th or my 8th at this point. I don't remember now. But he's been there every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year, he was right beside myself and Will Coley of Muslims for Liberty. So, like, he was one of the people that I interacted with most. So it's going to be weird if Mikey isn't there. Plus, the snack stands that are there every single year. Like, you can just go by there, grab a snack, and drop in a dollar and keep walking. That's so incredibly convenient.
I mean, and aside from the fact that I personally like Mikey, it's kind of scary when we just start banning people willy-nilly. Oh, well, you know, you're a troll, so we're just going to ban you. It's a slippery slope.
It is. But we do have other callers on the line. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
I'm him, Brian.
Hi, Brian. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, I just wanted to continue our debate. Got off on, I guess, the wrong foot. But I was debating you guys on libertarian principles. I was
it was when he said we were bragging about how principled we were. And then he wouldn't stop talking and I cussed at him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just don't like you guys bragging about a principle that's just so ridiculous.
Okay, well, let's get this one rule down. You're talking to three people, so when one person answers, that's not answering for me. You don't get to just go, okay, now, since you all think that, I'm going to start talking again for 45 minutes. It's just not how it works. You're not talking to one person. You're talking to three. You might not get 30 minutes to just monologue.
I'm just going
to
referee this one, though. I'm going to speak as little as possible.
So what's your question?
Yeah. I wasn't monologuing. I was addressing each one's point. But when someone makes a point, I can't listen to three points and then go back.
You can. It's our show. You're talking to people. No. Show with three people, so you can.
So what's on your mind tonight, Brian?
It was the red-haired girls that we were talking about, her definition. And you interjected with...
I didn't interject. I had something to say about it, and I was talking before you.
And my position on definition...
She's interrupting again.
My position on definitions has changed drastically in the last 48 hours, where I no longer find any value in them whatsoever. I
think it's important to have a definition in a conversation. Not the only definition you're allowed to use a word for, but if you're trying to say something to me and I don't understand what you're trying to say, then we can't have a conversation about it. But not... I'm not going to talk to you if you can't have someone else talking for 1 second on this show.
Okay, so I'm okay with you presenting your own definition if you don't agree with hers, but you got to let me...
I don't care what you're okay with.
You can't referee this chick or what? Okay, so
you haven't actually asked a question yet.
Yeah, all you've done so far is, like, complain.
Okay, so every definition, it's okay if you can present your own definition. Just wait for me to address hers. That I'm fine with that, but I can't listen to three different ones.
Oh, my God, we've already talked about this. You're just ask a question. I don't know what definition you're talking about right now, because that was over a week ago.
Okay, so let's go back to her definition. And then,
of what?
And again, you wanted to stick with the strict definition of non-aggression?
Hold on, Brian, because we're already back to definitions again, and if you want to use my definition, I have to object. I want to mostly referee this, but you can't point to my definition then, because I don't find any value in definition anymore. That's not the way humans categorize and classify things. We have internal prototypes.
How are you supposed to,
How are you supposed to build on a foundation of principles if you don't want to establish a definition?
I'm literally explaining to you right now, if you would stop and interrupting and listen, exactly how this works. Humans categorize things based on internal prototypes that we develop through our entire lives. Like, if I were to ask you, what is a table, you might try to define a table. But you don't ever actually, if I were to ask you whether or not something is a table, you don't refer to the Merriam-Webster's dictionary or the Oxford English Dictionary to determine whether or not that thing is or isn't a table.
I think we're saying you compare it
mentally to what you internally understand a table to be. Pointing to the definition, yes, you literally do. That's how humans classify things. Pointing to a definition from Merriam-Webster or the Oxford English Dictionary is completely useless, and it's just a tool that people use when they think they're right and the definition agrees with them, to bludgeon other people over the heads.
I gotta say that
I just have to say something
because it's more intelligent than what's ever going to come out of your mouth.
Can you just wait for me to reply to that? Okay, because in any debate, you can establish any definition and accept that for the purposes of a debate.
And what's contrary to... You're not saying anything contrary to what Ari is saying. And the reason I'm talking over you is because, like, you're just... Everything you're saying is so dumb. So the thing about it is, Ari is not saying anything contrary to that. Because I believe that it's not very useful to be like, technically you're wrong because there's this one word in the Merriam-Webster dictionary that says that. I argue with Ian all the time about things, and then he'll be like, according to the internet, this is what it means. And I say, Ian, it doesn't matter. Me and you both know this is what it means. And you can even sometimes go back and find out the original Greek meaning of the word is what everybody knows it means, and it's been since changed. So just because something's in the Merriam-Webster dictionary doesn't mean a thing. But I also got to agree a little bit with the caller in saying that if you're having a conversation, you both have to establish that you're talking about the same things. It doesn't matter what someone declared is the definition of it.
Right, and that's obviously true. However, the caller seems to want to have some extensive conversation about what the definition of something is. And I want to get that out of the way from the beginning, that I don't care what the definition is. I don't think it's relevant to the discussion. Go ahead,
and I would agree.
Yeah, so how can you brag about being principled if you don't even have a definition of your principles?
Because I have a prototype in my head of what a libertarian is, and I compare myself and other people to that prototype, and the closer they are to that prototype, the more principled they are. Like, I literally just explained to you. That's how people classify things.
You make a word like prototype, but, I mean, I'm allowing you to establish a definition, revise it as you wish, like you did before.
And I've already said this, Brian, that this isn't about definitions anymore.
Can we skip this part? Because this we're going around in circles. Can you just ask your question?
So just I'm trying to debate the non-aggression principle, but you guys know.
No, you're trying to debate a definition, Brian, and I started this conversation by saying that my position on definitions and the meaning of words and the relevance of that to the discussion had changed. And then you asked me a somewhat fair follow-up question. Okay, well, if you don't use the definition of non-aggression, like, just like with a table, if I ask you whether something is a table, you don't refer to the Merriam-Webster's definition to see what it says a table is and to then determine whether or not that thing is or isn't a table. That's not how you define libertarians or tables or furniture or anything else in the world. That's not how human beings classify things. That's not what definitions do.
And to give credit to your prototype theory, when me and Ian were talking about is tapping on the shoulder aggression or not, and I was defining it aggression differently than the definition Ian pulled up, after the show, me and Ian were taking a walk and we're talking about it again. And I was like, I bet you $1 million that if I go look up the original meaning of the word aggression, it's going to mean what I'm saying it is, because it's what everyone uses it as, not what dictionary.com right now says it was. And I was right. Yep. The Greek, like, root of the word meant to, it absolutely meant violent acts. It didn't just mean force, like the physics definition. Like, this is me asserting force against the coffee cup that I'm pushing on the table right now with my hand.
Right.
That's basically how the dictionary.com definition that Ian pulled up defines. So that's not helpful. I mean, it doesn't. I didn't sign up to be in a to believe in the non-force principle. That doesn't make sense. I wouldn't be able to pick up my coffee cup.
Yeah, I agree with you. I used to, I would have said a week ago, well, that's literally what it's defined as, but now I just don't care. And I have prototype theory to thank for this, and I can't find any rational reason that prototype theory would be incorrect. And one of the reasons this is significant, one of the best examples of how this is being used as a tool of the powerful, the mainstream people who agree with the dictionary definition or who have a prototype in their heads and they are convinced that the definition, the dictionary definition agrees and supports their prototypes. They, it's not a matter of right and wrong and what a thing actually is or isn't. It's a matter of what their prototype is versus what my prototype is. But they point to this dictionary definition because that allows one of us to be objectively right or objectively mm-hmm. wrong. And it's only something that someone would do if they are in agreement with the people in power who wrote that definition in the first place. So the classic question of what is a woman, right? Conservatives go, well, obviously, we all know what a woman is. And they're sort of right. We all have in our heads some understanding, some prototype of what a woman is. And when we have to, we compare people to that prototype. Now, if I were to ask you to actually define that prototype and list out all of the characteristics that were necessary for someone to be a woman and that were sufficient for a person to be a woman, no one would be able to do it. They would try it at first. They would be vague. Like, well, obviously, they have two XX chromosomes, right? But they don't know the chromosomal makeup of anyone that they're actually talking about. They never, you don't go around checking people's chromosomal makeup. So they're just assuming this thing, and that's not a valid criteria for categorizing people, is your assumptions. So you're actually basing this on some physical characteristics or some other assumed characteristics. And the value in the prototypes is that they should change over time, right? Like when you first, when your mother first points to a person and says, that's a woman, that's just some concept to you, woman. But when you see someone else, like a man, and you go, oh, well, that's a woman too. Then she goes, no, that's a man. So right there, you've got one prototype of woman and one prototype of man, and you know those are two different things. And as this happens more and more, you begin to separate those. And in your head, you more clearly define what things separate those different groups and categories. And this is a helpful thing. You're supposed to continue expanding your understanding of prototypes and your ability to classify things and categorize things as you get older. The problem with conservatives is that they revert back to, quote, basic biology, and those earliest forms, those earliest prototypes that they got when they were 5 or 6 years old, and they turned their brains off and they stopped letting their brains evolve. That's the sad thing more than anything.
But definitions can definitely change, even if you have to use definition to have a conversation. Obviously, the word woman has changed since, you know, 100 years ago.
603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in, but I'm not going to argue with you about definitions, man. If you want to do that, there's plenty of libertarians on Telegram and Matrix you can do that with.
We went on way past that time that I cussed at him last time, so he got his call.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.